Good to go.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. We are having an interesting day here, aren't we, Mr. Mangan?
We are, Eddie. Quite interesting.
And we had a
Please.
little thunderstorm here in Dallas-Fort Worth today. So if you haven't gotten emails from us or we haven't gotten your email, that's because the system was partially fried.
We had a lighting strike the server this morning. We had an outage. We didn't have electricity for about the first hour this morning, Eddie. So it's been an interesting day here in Dallas.
Yeah, it was interesting. So I was driving to work. I waited because it was storming so bad, Charles. I was driving to work a little bit late, and I was listening to the radio, and there said Highway 114, which is goes out and half a mile from my office, if not closer, that there was a tractor trailer that blew over on top of a car driving down the road in front of the airport.
Wow.
Wonder if that's a problem.
Could be. There are some high winds. I think there's a tornado passing by in some areas this morning. There was a school I heard Joy say this morning was closed down because of the damage to the building, so they didn't open the school. That's cleared off.
That's enough about that. So if you've sent us an email today, trying to get stuff on the call, the odds may be that we didn't get it. So the early worm is the early bird is the only one with the worm today, Mr. Mangan.
That's right. All
All right, Mr. Matt, let's roll with it.
right.
So Ken is unable to, I'll double check, but he said he was going to be unable to make the call, so I think it helped a little bit. Do you want me to just kind of read through the question, or?
Yeah, I think that'd be good, Matt.
Okay. And of course, he's unable to make the call, but he still would like to have it answered so he can go back into the archives and listen to this in the next day or so. So the
Okay.
background in question was they foreclosed on a property in Massachusetts where they had held the second lien position, which means they were saying the foreclosure was subject to the first, and is now wondering if he should get forced place insurance. Says he believes that the property is occupied because there was a modification in December, end of December of last year, and there was a payment made on the first modification. So he was just kind of thinking, why would they do that if they didn't hope to stay in the property or keep the property? But just in case, he was wondering, since we're on the title, if they should at least obtain forced place insurance, and if it should just be liability insurance or structural coverage as well. So I'll ask that first part, and then we can kind of get into the next part.
All right. Mr. Mangan, would you explain to me what force placed coverage is?
Okay, so when a borrower doesn't take out insurance on a property, a lender will take out a policy called forced place insurance. And typically that insurance is just covering the structure. Or not even actually the structure, but you can get the coverage amount, whatever amount you want to put it at. Typically they put it at what their value or what their vested balance is in the house on an active loan.
All right, let me ask you a question, Charles.
Okay.
If borrower, I don't think I've ever thought about this before. So it wouldn't make any sense. First of all, let's just clean the Ken Mull's question up. Ken Mull is asking for forced place coverage. He owns the asset. Place coverage would be the wrong type of insurance, wouldn't it?
Right.
Okay, because he now has title to it because he foreclosed on it.
Right. He would
So
need
he's
an REO.
Now, but he's foreclosed subject to the first lien,
Correct.
right? He didn't wipe them out. He didn't
No.
assume it. He foreclosed subject to it. So if he's trying to protect his interest, okay, his financial interest, he would insure the property as the owner.
Correct. Not through a forced place.
Not through forced place, because it's no longer forced place. Okay? The day you foreclose, forced place is not the policy.
Correct.
All right. I'm not sure everybody's clear about that.
Now then, and I'm sure I'm sure the first lien holder has a forced place insurance on their interest. But Ken's interest would not be insured by that policy.
I bet the lender don't know what they got.
Well, then they may not.
But I bet the insurance company, if the insurance company, they did a mod, and the borrower provided proof of insurance or it's escrowed, I bet the insurance company doesn't know old boy doesn't own the house anymore.
True.
I bet the first lien holder doesn't know old boy doesn't own the house anymore.
And they wouldn't check that. I mean, they may check it and do a title when they get ready to do the foreclosure sale, but that could be years down the road, Eddie.
So let me ask you a theoretical question. You're the insured on a first mortgage, and I'm the borrower.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I got a second, and the second forecloses and wipes me out. My insurance company, Charles, you're the first lien holder. My insurance company has sent you proof that the property is insured. And they legally have to send you a notice that it is no longer insured, or otherwise you can presume that it's insured. Is that true?
That's true. If a policy has been canceled or voided, they have to notify you of the termination of that policy.
All right. I get foreclosed. I don't own it anymore. I can live in it. I can tell my neighbors I own it. I can tell the principal of school I own it. I can do whatever I want to. But the reality is, old boy with a second's foreclosed and wiped me out.
Right.
You're the first lien holder, and you're sitting there thinking, I still own it, and you're holding an insurance policy that is insuring me as the owner of the property, as the insured, and you're listed as lost payee.
Right. Yet I don't have an interest anymore.
I don't have an interest. You do. I don't.
Right. Right.
And the insurance company has to tell you if it's no longer insuring it, because you're operating with the belief that they are.
Right.
All right. Lightning storm comes along, burns a bad boy down.
Right.
Yeah.
Hmm. So the house burns down. The second's not going to have an insurance.
Apparently, Ken Mole ain't been listed as lost payee. They forgot the boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I didn't tell Citibank, who has the first, about my friend Ken Mole, who is in the process of foreclosing on me, when I modified the first. I just forgot that part.
Well, but Ken Mole would have notified Citi.
I don't think he did. And I don't know that he's legally obligated to notify him. What I'm asking you is, does State Farm pay the claim on this bad boy to you as the lender? Because they did not tell you that they drop the coverage because they don't know that the house got foreclosed on. So the arson investigator guy goes out there with his nose to smell somebody's, you know, wet things down with a little gasoline. And the old boy figures out, crap, this property was foreclosed on. We ordered a title search. The guy that we insured is gone. He's no longer owns it. But we didn't tell Mr. First Lien Holder, Mr. Mangan, who works for City Mortgage, we forgot to tell him that we were dropping the coverage on this because we didn't really know that we were.
You would probably have a lawsuit there, Eddie.
I think the insurance company's on the hook for the first lien holder.
Well, I think they are, definitely, because the first lien holder, even though it was foreclosed out, that the second foreclosed, the first lien holder still had a lien against that property, and they were the lost insured on that policy.
Where's Parsons when you really need him?
Yeah, Ryan's probably experienced something like this before, too. Is Ryan on there, Matt?
He's not on the call, no.
He is on an amazing amount of calls, but he may not be on today. Actually, that is a great question that we need to ask Ryan.
Yeah. Because Ryan does a lot of seconds.
Well, no, Ryan was with State Farm for 18 years.
True.
He has a degree in insurance.
Yeah, I would definitely want to ask Ryan on that, Eddie, because I think the first lien holder is still going to be insured. There may be a lawsuit there, but the first lien holder is still the insured.
I don't think they can deny the coverage because they...
Because the second foreclosed? I don't think they can.
Anyway, I don't know the answer to it. Jim Mole's question is this. Should I get fourth place insurance? No. You can't get fourth place insurance. You don't have insurable interest as a mortgage anymore.
Right.
So your insurable interest is the owner of the property. So could Ken Mole insure the house for its value and not list city? And if the house burned down, would he get the money?
I don't think he can, Eddie.
He'd have to pay Citigroup out of the money.
He'd have to pay Citigroup off.
What if the other mortgage, the other insurance company already paid him?
Well, he can't pay it twice. So if the other insurance company paid Citi, then Ken's insurance company would pay him just his loss, but he wouldn't pay him the full amount.
Anyway.
Good questions. I mean, it could be very debatable.
Isn't it funny, as many deals as we've seen, we've never quite seen that?
Yeah. Of course, Citi still has a valid lien. Their lien's still there.
Oh, yeah. Agreed.
But that second lien holder is going to, what's he going to do, evict that borrower? And once he evicts that borrower?
Does it by these seconds? The borrower, they tell me, and I think it's true, the borrower just still continues to pay the first mortgage. He's in disbelief that he doesn't own the house anymore.
Right.
And you're saying, well, there's no way the borrower is continuing to pay his first mortgage and he would be paying for Ken Mole's house. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think they do.
But if the borrower doesn't pay Ken, Ken's going to evict him.
I think that's when the borrower wakes up and realizes it's time to settle up with Ken.
Yeah, yeah. That's the advantage of the second foreclosing.
Yeah.
So, it's a good question. I'd definitely like to talk to Ryan about it and talk through it with Ryan as well.
So somebody says, I don't understand. Why can't they get fourth placed?
There's not a valid lien.
Fourth placed insurance insures the lien holder in place of when the borrower has already gotten insurance and listed the lien holder as the mortgage holder of the property, the loss payee section. Okay? Ken Mole has foreclosed. When you run a title search today, who owns the house? The borrower? Ken Mole owns it, right? He's foreclosed. So Ken Mole would not get a fourth place policy because he no longer has a lien against the property. He has ownership in the property. So there you go.
Yep.
All right, Mr. Matt, what else?
Well, that was Stephen. Stephen's asking if he should take contractor's insurance then.
No, you don't take contractor's insurance. Okay? You're not, you've got to understand that the day you foreclose, you own the house. So in the story that we just told, Mangan owns the first, I was the borrower, Ken Mole has the second. Now I'm dancing along with Charles Mangan and modifying the loan like we're all good. I'm going to get all straight again with you, Mr. Mangan. I got an insurance policy and you're the first lien holder and right? Then all of a sudden, Ken Mole is in constant process of foreclosing on me and trips the switch. Boom, he's foreclosed. Mangan doesn't know it. I don't tell him. And my insurance company doesn't know because I didn't tell them. Ken Mole now owns the house. I don't own it anymore. He foreclosed and wiped me out. He seized my interest in the property through foreclosure. Run a title search today. Ken Mole owns it. Charles still has the first, and the insurance company doesn't know that the person that they insured is no longer has an insurable interest.
So would a redemption period make a difference on the type of insurance you would put on it?
With the what?
Redemption.
No.
How do you insure it during the redemption period? Just insure it as an owner? And the mortgage company insures it as an owner?
Yeah.
That's what we do, isn't it?
Yeah. Because technically that borrower still owns it during that redemption period.
Now, wait a minute now.
If you foreclose,
we're foreclosing it as we own the property. He has a right to repurchase it in his redemption period, but he doesn't own it.
Okay, he has a right to repurchase it, but if you go back and you lease that, if that property is vacant and you try to lease that property out, they can argue that you owe the borrower those rents because he typically has, 6 months, 12 months, whatever that redemption period is in some states.
Right.
So just depending on it. But yeah, I mean.
Now, Charles, tell me, our insurance has, we have like a master policy, right?
Right.
And we're based moving properties out of an insured position with the insurance company all the time, right?
Right.
Or we could put property on fourth place coverage, and the borrower comes back and proves they had insurance. The fourth place coverage that we use takes it off and reimburses us the premium that we paid for it.
Right. They'll cancel it and reimburse us. Right.
And then they will switch it from fourth place to insuring the house on the day we foreclose.
Correct.
Okay. And probably, if Ken Mole had fourth place coverage on it, it would have done that.
Right.
But he needs to make sure that when he tells the insurance company to insure the house, that he doesn't tell them he's a lien holder. He needs to tell them he's technically foreclosed, and now it's REO.
Yeah.
Charles, they're asking some questions about forced place. So tell us where we're at with that.
Okay. So we're still working on our policy. Matt, who do we have on the member's site right now with our forced place?
That I know of, I don't know that we have that one that you sent me over the contact information up yet.
Okay. So we've got one that, We have one we're currently using. We were using a company that we've used for quite a while, same company FCI uses, but things didn't work out with us with that group. We are now in the process of changing to another underwriter. We're still working through the contracts.
Company, Charles, didn't they send all of our investors a letter and say that they weren't insuring them when they already accepted the premium?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same company you're talking about?
That's the same company I'm talking about, Eddie.
I just got to make sure.
So a lot of them on the call here got that letter, same letter we got. So we are currently working with another company to get them up and running.
Is this the one, Charles?
Sit right there. Currently, Ross Diversified Insurance Services. They've done an excellent job. I've used them personally. I know Martha's used them personally and Eddie on some of their deals. Anyways, that's who we can refer you to. Anyways, they've got some good coverage, and they're a great company to deal with. So, I mean, even once we get our other company up and running, we'll continue to use Ross because they've done a great job providing students with coverage. So we definitely want to keep them up there, Matt.
Your servicers have force plays, but they're quirky, to be honest with you. Like, here's an example. The day if you buy a non-performing note from us, they won't flip the switch and put force plays on until they've boarded the loan. Wait a minute. Aren't they going to wait 30 days before they board the loan, Charles, after they buy it?
Could take up to 30 days.
So you're telling me that if they won't put force place insurance on immediately, I run that risk for 30 or 45 days with it being uninsured.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, so this is why we use guys like this. Because, to be honest with you, some of the servicers have some quirky stuff about their force plays, and there's an element of risk that you shouldn't be taking. And I guess I don't like using a company that tried to cancel insurance people had already paid premiums for.
Yeah, definitely.
Just saying.
Because they've done it once, they could do it again, couldn't they, Eddie?
I'm just saying. So this company did a good job. Ross Insurance, they're on the membership site. Matt, appreciate you looking that up. And yes, I would do that. Now all of the servicers that you meet, they do have force place insurance.
Right.
Okay. So, Barbara, I hope that answers your question. Bob Bradenton says, I feel like I have a good grasp on performing notes and partials. I have an investor requesting NPLs. How do I price, market, and avoid liability? All right, Bob, well, let me give you the world according to Eddie on this one. You can buy a non-performing note. You can buy it from us, or you can buy it from somebody else. You get a pretty good sense of how we price the assets because you see how we price them. It's a percentage of property value. What I am going to say to you is do not take our list. I'm not saying that you're saying you're going to, but I'm just clarifying this. Don't take our list of assets and go try to shop them with some investor, because we don't want our assets shopped, and that's why you sign an NDA. If this investor is real and verifiable, that's a conversation that we might could have. But I would say that here's our vetting of an investor that's going to buy NPLs. You guys see the deal. You go to classes. You're mentor students. Some guy goes, hey, man, I appreciate going to the class. I just, I don't need any training, really. I just want to buy assets. And we're like, okay, well, what's your history? Who's your servicer? Are you ready to buy assets? we know we're not going to sell them the preferred assets or the preferred price. We're just trying to see if they're real. Well, I don't have a servicer. No, I never see them saying, well, we're thinking we're not going to offer you non-performing loans because you're not really demonstrating you're a sophisticated investor. And you got to be a sophisticated investor to buy non-performing loans. So my first question is, Bob, what's the guy's track record? Have they bought any other non-performing notes? Do they have any evidence of it? Do they have a relationship with the servicer? Is it just a cool idea, but are they really ready to go do it? How you price the assets is going to be a percentage of the underlying collateral value, percentage of BPO. So it's a very fair question you're asking. Like, where do I start? First thing I'd start with is the guy real. Has he bought any other non-performing loans, or is he just are you now going to be his test case? So personally, we don't fool with people that say they want to buy non-performing notes when we're not convinced that they're not really prepared to be in the business, unless we put them through note school. So that's kind of how I'd say it.
So, Mr. Speed?
Yes.
Ryan, I got a hold of him, and he's saying he's going to be calling in to kind of go through some of that insurance questions. To kind of clarify that, so he should be on here in a couple of minutes. So.
All right, beautiful. Why don't we go to our commercial while we do that?
Right. We have any questions up? Any more questions up, Matt?
That was all that we had come in. I don't know if anything came in during the day, but that was all we had up to today.
Titanium Mastermind. I think we already have 40 something titaniums. That have already confirmed they're coming to the mastermind. That will be April 15th and 16th. We'll have, if you'll be there kind of before 6 o'clock, we're going to have kind of a social evening on April 14th. Mastermind will run 15th and 16th. If you're coming, we really need you to register because we're going to start sending out some surveys and helping you kind of prepare for the mastermind. And, So we are really, really, really ready to let's roll with this thing. Got some cool stuff coming up for that, Charles, right?
Definitely, yeah.
And so if you're a titanium student, you should be receiving information from us. If you're sitting on the edge, need you to really, you know, jump out there and get registered and do it. You can. You should have an email from us, but you can go to noteschool.com/titanium, and there's a registration process there. Okay, Matt, Summer Summit.
All right.
By the way, I got a cool little. Hey, did you see my commercial on Summer Summit, Mangan?
I did not.
Yeah, I did. We got one that's going to be coming out here probably this week. Got a little commercial on Summer Summit. It's pretty cool.
Good deal.
Summer Summit is June 3rd and 4th. Okay? June 3rd and 4th. It's also going to be at the American Airlines Training Center. And that is for all Mentor students. It does not cost anything to go to Summer Summit, except, of course, the hotel that you stay at, which will be the American Airlines Center. There is a registration process, and you cannot come if you don't register. So, not trying to be bad, and you can't, like, we're going to put a cutoff date, so you can't, like, register, like, 7 seconds before it starts, because we can't get all the reservations and all the things that we need to do if everybody decides they're going to go in the last 7 seconds, okay? So, if you know you're coming, register now. There will be a cutoff date. There will be, on June the 2nd, a pre-Summer Summit class, okay? This is a class that you buy, and all proceeds are going to the Child Welfare Board, okay? So the class is going to be taught by a guy named Dykes Botiford. Dykes Botiford is a knocked-out, super-sharp dude, and he is going to be teaching a class called Entity Creation, for minimizing taxes and maximizing asset protection. That taxes thing, Matt's really important. Make sure we don't forget that part. entity creation for minimizing taxes and maximizing asset protection. Okay? And this guy is extremely good. He is the guy that, like Jeff Watson and Walter Wolford and Dr. David Phelps and all those guys, have done a lot of stuff with Dykes Botterford. So Dykes has agreed to a very modest charge to do the class because it is for charity. And but this is be a really good deal. And by the way, we're going to load everybody up, take you to Fort Worth, and we're going to feed you at the Fort Worth Stockyards. Best barbecue in Fort Worth, as they say, where we're going. Okay? So that's going to be a great setup. And, yeah, Tim Stoll, anybody that's ever been to Dykes Botterford can tell you the guy's, like, unbelievably good. So this is a great teacher. We've never had – I've taught for Dykes in the past. I've never had Dykes teach for us and thought it would be really good to do it. And this is a very common subject I think will be super-duper helpful. Okay? So that's going to be June 2nd. June 3rd and 4th is going to be Summer Summit. And then those of you that bought dinner with the Speeds at the charity auction, we're going to load you up and take you to my house on Saturday night. That'll be June 4th, and that's when we're going to have the charity auction dinner. Okay? And I don't know, there were about a dozen people that bought that during the auction. Okay? Very good. We got a little commercial coming up for Summer Summit. Don't wait for it, though. You can go to noteschool.com/Summer Summit, and you can sign up immediately. Okay? So we're going to have a great time. Any of us ever been to those events know that it's a can't-miss deal. So we'll look forward to seeing our Titaniums here in about a month, a little less than a month. Or a little more than a month, and then we'll see everybody here back here in June. So it'll be great. The hog hunt may have filled up, but if you really want to do it, think it has. If you really want to do it, you can reach out to us, and we'll get you connected. Martha's Ladies Mastermind. I know that she's got a few kind of stragglers, and they're kind of working with them. These are non-mentor school student events. The hog hunt, all the proceeds go to the Child Welfare Board. The Martha's Ladies Mastermind, the reason we do that is because we take the money, and that's what lets us pay for some of the facilities and some of the things that we do to be more charitable in what we do. So it's not exactly charity, but it's kind of sort of. So if you're interested in that, you should already have some information about it. If you don't, you can email us and we'll get you what you need. Okay? I know Rachel's talking to some people about that, the Ladies Mastermind. Yeah, Lisa Hokuson said you can't miss it, and you're right, you can't miss it. No question about it. All right. Matt, have we heard from Mr. Ryan?
Ryan, you should be unmuted. Can you talk?
Yes, I can. Good afternoon, everyone.
Hey, dude, we've been talking about you. Can you believe that we've come up with a topic that we have never discussed before?
I can only imagine what that such elusive topic would be.
All right. These are insurance questions.
All right.
Okay. All right, so let me just give you the riddle, and you may know the answer off the top of your head. I suspect you do, but if you need to check back with us, it'll be fine. Okay?
All right.
I am a borrower. I owe on a first mortgage to Mr. Mangan. Okay? And so I got delinquent with Mangan, but now I've signed modifications back late in the year, and I've modified the first mortgage, and I'm now paying Charles, and Charles thinks he's all fat, dumb, and happy, right?
Uh-huh.
We're making the assumption that I have provided Charles an insurance policy, or he's got an escrow account that's paid for an insurance policy.
Okay.
Insuring me as the homeowner and Charles as the lender.
Right.
What I didn't tell Charles and the insurance company is that I've got a second lien owned by some old dude out in San Francisco named Ken Mole.
Okay.
And Ken Mole is on the backside of foreclosing on this asset at the point that I've signed this modification. And after I sign the modification, Ken Mole forecloses.
All right.
So Ken Mole now owns the house. I'm out. Ken Mole's in. Mangan doesn't know about Ken Mole. Neither does the insurance company.
Right.
House burns down. What's the insurance
company? Getting better. All right. So the second lien holder has now taken possession of the property. Is that right?
Yes.
I'm still living there like everything's all good.
I see. Okay. But you as the borrower do not technically own that property anymore.
Wouldn't they say that I don't have an insurable interest no more?
That's exactly what it is. You certainly don't have, there's two things at play. You don't have an insurable interest under the definition of an ordinary standard homeowner's insurance policy, which covers the dwelling as well as the personal property inside of the house owned by the homeowner. So at the point in time Ken foreclosed, that extinguished the homeowner's insurable interest in the dwelling of that property. The fact that Ken wasn't listed in the second lien position on the property is really a moot issue, I believe, because the homeowner didn't have an insurable interest to have any lien, add any lien holders with an interest. So if Ken didn't have his own force placed or some other policy that he had, Ken's probably out of luck on it too.
Okay, well, my theory is I get that, but I'm saying that the house burns after Ken has foreclosed.
Right.
Okay. So here's my question. Here's Mangan. He thinks that I still own it, and he's listed as lost payee, and the insurance company has never told Mangan that they're no longer covering it.
Well, because at the time of the loss, we're looking at it from Mangan's perspective. What does he have? Okay.
We'll talk about right. Ken's perspective here in a second. I want to see.
Okay.
I want to see what Mangan's risk is.
Okay. So, if there could be a couple of things, if the homeowner goes and makes a claim, the insurance company may not be aware of anything and still pay out and write the check payable to the homeowner and to Mangan as the lost payee. That's possible. That's possible. But I don't know how bad the homeowner is going to make a claim here, be able to make a claim. The second thing is from Charles's standpoint, because the insurance company didn't notify him, because they didn't know to notify him. So, and that's
but
not...
Isn't the insurance company, isn't he presuming they're covering the risk of him being the lender until he's notified because they gave him a window and said, we're insuring it from this date to this date, and he can presume it's insured unless he's further notified?
There is an argument to be made for that, yes. There is. But again, if that insurance company discovers that they don't have an insurable interest anymore, they can go back and not rescind the policy, but it's going to be a midterm cancellation and cancel that policy with very short notice to Charles. Would they still cover the claim at the time of the loss?
Is that like when it's just a small fire?
My guess is going to be they are going to have the ability to say, you don't own it anymore, but the premium is still being paid. They have a way out of it if they want to, because the homeowner doesn't have an insurable interest in it.
But if State Farm or Allstate had a policy on it, they'd pay the claim at least to the lender.
I think so. Because I think so.
Never heard of them not doing that. Have you, Charles?
No, I haven't. No.
Because the policy was still technically enforced at the time of the loss, and Mangan did have good faith insurable interest in that property at the time of the loss.
Okay. Okay.
Now, part of the let's say the homeowner's insurance company, Eddie, decide they're not going to do this. They aren't going to pay. I don't know then. Charles may be able to go back and get the force-placed insurance on it at the time they cancel the policy, which would be the day before the loss. That could be possible under the force-placed carrier's policy, because you usually have, 60 days or 90 days to backdate on the force-placed in situations like this. Now, that's going to be a force-placed carrier question, but that could be a possibility.
All right, so say that again, Ryan.
Okay. So let's say the data law, you know, it can foreclose on December 1st of last year. The house burns down on December 15th of last year. Let's say it's Allstate that's got the homeowner's policy. Allstate, if they decide to deny the claim and cancel the policy because of a substantial change in the risk there, they're maybe going to go, they're going to go back and actually cancel the policy on December 1st when he lost ownership, when you as the borrower lost ownership of the property. So at that point in time, Mangan then goes, oh, I do not have coverage any longer. We were just notified as of December 1st. Now, this is going to be after the fact, but they're going to get the, Mangan's going to get the cancellation policy from Allstate saying the policy canceled December 1st, to which Mangan is then going to go to his force place carrier and say, hey, we were just notified of this, so we need our force place starting as of December 1st. And here's the proof of that. And then, depending on the force place coverage, they should be on the hook for any subsequent losses past that date, which is part of the reason that we pay so much for force place insurance. It is part of that risk that goes on. But they should, at least from what I understand, will cover and insure.
But if a traditional homeowner's insurance company, State Farm, Allstate, you know, the routine.
Right.
They accepted a year's worth of premiums, notified the loss payee that they were covering it and that they were insured in the loss payee spot. If the house burned down and the insurance company had never notified them that they were not covering the risk, they are probably presuming that risk, right? The insurance
that
company
is
presuming that risk.
They are. They can't go back unless they are proving fraud or something like that. They are going to have a hard time making that argument to have rescinded the coverage, you know, to before the loss, so they don't have to
pay
the claim.
Even if it's fraud or arson, it's not fraud. Their lender's not taking that risk. The borrower's taking that risk, but not the lender.
True.
If I torch the house, Mangan still gets paid off. Now I get to go to prison.
Yeah.
Right?
Not necessarily, because if they can prove that it's fraud, they don't necessarily owe on the policy to anybody who's got an insurable interest.
All right, so are you aware of major insurance companies not paying lenders off ever?
No, not. I can't think of a specific case.
And you did this for almost 20 years.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we thought was the case. You just had experience we didn't have. We've never seen them deny paying off the claim, and that's from being the lien holder.
Mm-mm.
All right, so let me ask you. So Ken Mole forecloses. Now he owns the house, subject
right.
to the first.
Right.
So he calls the insurance company and says, "Look, man, I need my REO insured. I don't need force placed insurance. I need insurance on my REO."
REO, got it. Yep.
Now, I foreclose subject to the first, but I'm not insuring them.
Right.
The house burns down.
Yeah.
Mo get all that money?
Potentially, because his insurance company isn't going to know that there's a lien holder out there. And he, Ken, is not under any obligation to that first lien holder to cover them because he doesn't have the deed of trust with them and the obligation to cover that first lien holder. Now, Ken, I don't think Ken is not obligated to pay that first lien holder a penny. Nor is that first lien holder have any right to come to Ken to come collect on any of that.
Hey, Ryan.
Yes, sir.
Next time Matt calls you offline in the middle of a mentor call and says, we want you to jump on, it's going to be a brain twister.
Well, I'm starting to tap out a note to see what I might be able to dig up on this and find even more current information about that. It's a great case study, and only Mr. Mole would come up with a humdinger like this.
Well, we had to clean his question up a little bit. He was asking about forced placed, and we had to get past the point of what traditionally we think in terms of forced placed, but really it's past forced placed. It's really REO coverage.
It is. It definitely is at that point, no doubt about that.
Right.
Yeah, from Ken's perspective, but I'm
curious. Before we release you, let me make sure we don't have some questions here. We need to open up to this.
Certainly.
Matt, are you helping me out here, dude?
I am looking, yes. Sorry about this, Ryan.
No. You actually call it a perfect time. Speaking of forced place insurance, Eddie and Charles, I was out doing my good due diligence here and inspecting some of my properties.
Okay.
So I was out doing the very do of why we're at part of the what drives this conversation we're having.
Okay. Got to do that, Ron. That's good.
I try.
Well, that's good.
All right. Yeah, let's see, Ryan, I'm trying to make sure that I think. Oh, here's Robin. Robin, you don't ask dumb questions, so trust me. There ain't no way you're asking a dumb question. Let's see what she said here.
How would you, as the lien holder, make sure you're listed as the lost payee unless you talk to the borrower? You just have them provide you with a copy of the declaration page, Robin, for that policy.
Who has the authority, correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan, who has the authority to list you as lost pay is the insurance company, right? The borrower didn't really...
That's right.
I mean, so without the insurance company saying that you're lost payee, the borrower can't give you a wink and a nod and do anything.
That's exactly right. You need to be on the contract because the insurance company is going to write the check not only to the homeowner, it's going to say Eddie Speed and Charles Mangan as lender. Eddie Speed as borrower and Charles Mangan as lender is how they're going to write any loss drafts to.
Right. And so the insurance sends kind of a short form of the policy that they refer to as a deck page. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's going to be the interest section, which is the debt page. It'll be in the additional interest clause of the contract on the declarations page.
And they refer to that as the loss payee, right?
That's correct. That has the additional interest. That's correct.
Okay. Ryan, appreciate you jumping on, brother.
It's my pleasure, guys. I hope you all have a great rest of the afternoon and everyone has a great rest of the week.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, Jones. Yeah, thanks, Charles. Bye-bye.
Oh, Note School has a family of people that have incredible resumes in the past, and Ryan was an insurance guy for a long time and knew it well, and actually, as I said, I'm pretty sure he has a degree in insurance. So he's very, very connected. If you can about think of an insurance question, if he don't know the answer, he's certainly got resources of people that do. So I'm glad we got through that. I think, Charles, it's basically what we were thinking, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of, I think we guessed it right, and but it is an interesting question. It's not exactly what Ken Mole asked us, but it led to that. So, anyway, we do kind of keep things straight, guys, on performing and non-performing. So somebody asked a question about performing notes, and that's kind of, this is kind of the wrong day for it. So we just kind of, I know you're entitled to both sides of the mentoring, but we do kind of keep it straight. So that'll be a topic. That's a better topic for another day than for today on performing notes topic. What else, Mr. Matt?
Well, there is, if you can give a quick definition on this, someone, Bill's asking about the processes of a second foreclosing on the first and how that, like the subject to, or if it, kind of how that works. If you wanted to touch on that, if not, we...
All right, well, let's stick with the riddle that we did, right? Let's stick with the story. Charles has the first, I'm the borrower, Ken Mole has the second, okay? Charles, you have the first, and other than a taxing authority, or possibly if it were a super lien state, a homeowner association, or the IRS, nobody can change your lien position, right?
That's right.
So if Ken Mole has a second, he has the right to foreclose on me because I didn't pay him.
Correct.
He did not have the right to wipe you out.
Correct.
So he can foreclose. Now Ken Mole owns the house, but subject to the first lien.
That's right.
So it isn't an assumption of the first lien. It's a subject to of the first lien. So, Charles, you still have a lien on the house.
Mm-hmm.
And if Ken Mole doesn't see that you get paid, you foreclose and wipe and repossess the house. You're not technically foreclosing on the prior borrower. You're foreclosing on Ken Mole or whoever else has an interest in the property.
I'm foreclosing on my lien.
So what would you do in that case before you start foreclosure to know who you're foreclosing on?
I'd run a title search.
That's why you always run a title search.
And as a first lien holder, I would have to notify Ken that I am getting ready to process foreclosure and proceed with my foreclosure.
Even though you don't know Ken.
Hmm?
Even though you don't know Ken.
Even though I don't know Ken. I'm going to notify the second lien holder to give them an opportunity to come in and pay off my first lien. And, or if not, I'm going to foreclose and wipe them out.
Okay. All right, Bill, great question, and it was something that there was an opportunity for us to kind of clean that up. So, Matt, there's several little things in this session today that I think Kevin Shortell will probably want to know about, because I think we end up covering some pretty cool stuff in here related to insurance and also how foreclosure deals with, and a second foreclosure deals with how the first works. So I think that's some good stuff. So, Mr. Mangan, I'm not going to be with you next Monday and Tuesday on the call.
That's what I hear, Eddie. You're getting ready to leave the country.
No. Hawaii is in the continental United States.
It is in the continental United States.
As well, in the United States.
Because you're not going to have any computer, any access to phones. Nothing.
I didn't say that. I'm going to be gone for a little bit, so I'm going to miss next week, but you guys are in the best of hands, and I'll resume with you when I get back. So I'm leaving in the morning, going to somewhere else, Hawaii.
Never been there, have you?
I've never been to Hawaii. No.
Out of all those trips, you've never made it to Hawaii.
American Airlines, I've been on an airplane almost 800 times or a little more than 800 times. That plane has never landed in Hawaiian islands.
Well, you and Martha have a great time.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, we got a tape that's just been released. It should be on the member side or will be shortly. Right, Matt?
Well, depending on the email situation, but yeah, it should have been released already.
Oh, well. Yeah, we've had some email problems, but just you can check the member side. get an email out. Once our emails are up and running, you will receive an email. But anyways, it is a tape. It's got a mixture of assets on it. If you're interested in them, just let us know. Which leads me to my next subject is, when you buy an asset and you receive a deed from Colonial to your company, make sure you're recording that deed. We are finding that we have people that are getting deeds and just sticking them in a file cabinet and never recording them. So the title is still in our name. So if you're not recording your deed, it could very well go to a tax sale and you'll never know it. Because they don't know who, they're notifying us, we're sending these documents out to whoever purchased the liens, but understand that, you know, that there's a possibility that you may not get some important documents if you're not recording that deed. So once you purchase that and you receive a deed, make sure you're recording your deed in your company name, and therefore it's no longer in Colonial's name. And that's all I have.
All right.
So, as you can see here, I just wanted to make a point of this. Some people who are using the Mac system are having some issues with opening up some of the Excel links. So, as you can see here, where we have on the buy asset, you go to the non-performing inventory. You can download the tape, which is on the March 26 offering folder. But if you also click here, that will go to the Dropbox link that has all of the Dropbox due diligence files that you don't, so you don't have to actually download them from an Excel. They'll open up from here. So if you're having an issue and you're using a Mac, as far as opening the links, click on here and you'll be able to open up the Dropbox due diligence files directly from the Dropbox folder.
Good deal.
Hangin, we have a question about when do you record the deed?
Soon as you get it. So when you receive that deed in the mail, contact the local county. Sometimes a servicer may record that deed for you, but in most cases you record your own deeds. Just contact the local county recorder's office, get the address and where to send that deed, keep a copy of that deed, send the original to the recorder's office. You know, you can call and get the fee, how much it's going to cost to record the deed. You'll send the deed along with the check to the county recorder's office and have them record it.
If you bought an asset from us, trust me, we've cashed the check.
Yeah.
Oh, it's time to record your deed.
Right. Yeah. So when you get that deed, don't wait to record your deed. Go ahead and send that deed in most cases. You know, there may be a certain circumstance we're waiting for something to record ahead. But most cases, you should be good to go to record those deeds.
Yeah. So if we were sending you communication saying we have reason to believe that you've not recorded your deed, you need to respond to that message.
Definitely.
Because we have a couple of people that are going dark on us on assets that they've already bought.
Some of these are a year old and they still haven't recorded their deeds.
And we're getting tax notices that they're being foreclosed and wiped out by the taxing authority.
What if they have a redemption period? I can redeem them. Your 1 year redemption's up, folks.
Hello.
Yeah.
All right. I will catch you guys when I'm back. Appreciate everybody's nice things about us having a little time off. Martha and I and the boys are coming with, going to meet us over there a little later. We're going to put Wood and Hudson on an airplane by themselves to fly to Hawaii. I'm sure that all the airports will be safe.
I'm sure the flight attendants will love that, Eddie.
Yeah. That'll be good. See you guys later.
Bye. Thanks, Eddie. Bye.